Hello everyone, you are listening to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Brandon and today we begin our speed review. It's February 9th. The title of our article is The Master Coach. And in the studio with me, I have Lois and Simon. Welcome, panelists.
Thank you, Brandon.
Thank you, Brandon. It's great to be here.
And we're talking about The Master Coach. And what do you usually think of, Lois, when you think about a coach?
I always think about sports. I'm a sports fanatic. I love to watch them. I do participate. I'm not that great, but I would automatically think sports.
All right. And is that the only thing you can think of when you think of a coach, Simon?
Well, no. I think in recent years, this skill of coaching, or maybe this job of coaching, has probably spread from the sports field into other areas of life. And so now sometimes we hear about life coaches or career coaches, people like that.
Yeah, and this book really addresses leaders in a sense. This man, Greg Thompson, he's involved a lot with leadership and coaching and helping people to understand the concepts that to kind of make a great leader or a great coach. And they kind of dissect this. What's the difference between a teacher and a coach and all of these different things? We don't often think that way, but in this book, they kind of differentiate between those, don't they, Lois?
Yes, they do. And it really does tell us what are the characteristics of a great coach. And I had to think, well, we're going to think about leading me or leadership or what would they tell me? And this book is obviously something that a lot of people have been wanting to follow and have this help in this decade.
And we often think of life coaches, right? What is a life coach?
Sorry. Well, a life coach is a person who actually uses the same sorts of techniques as a sports coach. I guess to understand that, you actually kind of have to look at what a sports coach does, especially if people haven't played on sports teams too much in the past. They might not be very familiar with that. But basically, a sports coach gets people to work together as a team and develops the skills of individual people so that they can contribute to the team as much as they possibly can.
That's right. And a life coach, of course, is helping you in life. Like what things can they tell you to help you maybe with your situations, your circumstances, some principles that they can put out before you that you can hopefully follow that will then, you know, help you throughout life.
Right. I often think of when you go to the gym now, a trainer almost seems like your own personal coach and is trying to get you to that level where you will be physically fit, active, healthy. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people might actually think of them now as a dimension of being a part of your whole coaching team. So they're almost a life coach to you, especially if you struggle in those areas.
All right. I think it's more than just physical stuff too, though. I mean, that's obviously one kind of skill or talent, but football coaches in particular are often involved in things like developing leadership. So, for example, team captains and people like that, and getting them to work effectively to lead other players.
Yeah, there's a lot you can learn through sports that can help you in daily life as well. And yes, certainly coaches are helping to develop those leadership skills. Whether you're on a team or not, there's a lot you can learn from the concepts in coaching. Maybe you want to, you know, fill that role yourself. You want to be a coach of sorts. Well, hopefully this book will give you some things to ponder, some things that you can put into practice. If you have your magazines, please open them to page 20, and we'll have our first reading for today.
The Master Coach. What are the characteristics of a great coach? Great leaders are great coaches. They understand that developing the skills, talents, and mindsets of their people is a vital part of their jobs as leaders. However, the concept of coaching can also be confusing. Early in his excellent how-to book, The Master Coach, Leading with Character, Building with Connections, and Engaging in Extraordinary Conversations, executive coach and trainer Greg Thompson explains what coaching is not.
Okay, great leaders are great coaches. And when I think of a leader, Lois, I don't always think of a coach.
No, I don't either, because some leaders are quite autocratic, so I don't think of them as coaching.
What does that coaching. Mean?
Autocratic means they're in control. They're kind of telling you what to do, almost like dictate to you. Whereas I think a coach often, I think of that, they bring you along. And when I think they bring you along, it's almost like you're walking side by side.
Yeah, they're kind of there to coach you through something. Yeah. They are telling you things to do, but it's kind of as they're by your side, helping you along the way.
Yeah, they're definitely an authority figure, though. So
sure.
When I listen to this first paragraph, the thing I think about, I mean, right away, is that basically they're describing coaching as one sort of leadership style that people use.
Okay, and so they understand that developing the skills, talents, and mindsets of their people is a vital part of their jobs. And so they're there to do three things, according to this next sentence. They want to develop the skills, talents, and mindsets. You know, maybe, Lois, someone, they don't really know what talents they have. And so they go to this coach, maybe a life coach, and they help to kind of call those out, bring those out, or maybe help change the way they think.
Right. And sometimes you think of your talents maybe not what other people think of your talents. They don't see that in you. But, you know, you've just thought that for how long? And maybe this life coach can say, no, I really think these are your strengths, or I think you should go down this stream.
And we all have blind spots, but others can maybe see things in us that we're not paying attention to, and they see talents and gifts that we've been given, and they can remind us of those and encourage us to develop those more.
Yeah, and the thing that stands out right away about this coaching is that when the coach is a leader, they're not just trying to get people to follow them, they're trying to get people to perform well independently by themselves.
That's a very important point. They're trying to help people to get to the point where they can go and be successful in life, not just be a follower.
They're trying to launch, they say launch individuals.
Mm-hmm. However, the concept of coaching can also be confusing. Why, Simon?
Well, it might be something to do with this title. They give us a very long title written out here, but of course that's not the title people would use for the book. If you look at the top of page 20, you can actually see a picture of the cover of the book, and the obvious title there is just The Master Coach, but then they give sort of a subtitle to explain what a master coach is. And they explain there that a master coach is leading with character, building with connections, and engaging in extraordinary conversation.
It's kind of an outline for the book, I think, because later on we'll talk about those three topics, character, connection, and conversation.
Well, yeah, the front cover almost gives you a summary of the book, and you go, this is what I need to read.
That's right. It kind of fills that out for you, and you know what you're getting into.
But other than the title, obviously, the reason this idea of coaching can be confusing is that the word is often confused with other words we use for types of leader. So, for example, we talk about people like teachers or leaders or boss or all of these different kinds of words, and it's not necessarily clear to people right away what the difference between a coach and those other kinds of leaders is.
Right, and the author, Greg Thompson, who we get more information about him, he is an executive coach and trainer. He explains what coaching is not. Sometimes it's helpful to know what something isn't in order to know, you know, how to differentiate it between some of those things that Simon was talking about. You know, it's not this, it's not that. And that helps to kind of get things to a place where we can better understand it. And so that's what Greg Thompson does in this book, The Master Coach. Well, that is a little bit of an introduction to this review, but we have much more to discuss. So if you have your magazines, let's follow along, and we'll have our next reading for today.
They don't need a friend. A coach is not a friend, he writes. Although coaches can be friendly, the purpose of coaching is to challenge those they are coaching, the talent, in Thompson's terms, and hold them accountable. A coach is also not a therapist. As Thompson explains, coaching is not the antidote for deeply troubled and significantly distressed individuals. Thompson also differentiates between coaching and teaching. Teaching is a unilateral exercise, with the teacher imparting knowledge to the learner. In coaching relationships, both the coach and the talent are learning together. Perhaps the greatest confusion for many people occurs between coaching and mentorship. The core difference, according to Thompson, is that a mentor guides the talent by drawing on past experience, knowledge, and wisdom. In contrast, he writes, the coach opens the door to an inquiry, a discovery, and learning process that unfolds in the moment.
Well, if you are looking for a friend, maybe you've come to the wrong place in the case of life coaches. So, Lois, basically the first part here is talking about it. A life coach isn't there to be your best friend.
Yeah, it was kind of brutal at the beginning.
Yeah, I'm kind of sad about that.
Yeah, I was thinking, well, I don't know, some of my kids' coaches and not many years past, I kind of thought of them as a friend to the children. But this is a kind of coach that's trying to get you through life
right. In
a better way.
So if they're like your friend, trying to be your best friend or something, they may not be as helpful for you, in other words. Because here, their job is to tell you things that, maybe you don't want to hear. And a good friend can do that too, but it's different than just someone who is your friend.
Yeah, we've kind of talked about this before in advance. We've said it's almost like they're giving constructive criticism.
Yeah.
They're being positive, but they're going to give you maybe what you are a little uncomfortable hearing.
Okay, so they can be friendly, but what is the real purpose of a coach, Simon?
Well, they say it's to challenge the people they are coaching. And then the term that Greg Thompson uses is the talent. So the people that he is coaching, they're called the talent.
All right, that's, I'm sure, helpful when you're writing a book to give someone, give them this name so you know what they're referring to throughout the book. And then coaches, of course, they need to hold you accountable, and that's really good. You know, if you hold someone accountable, you make them answer for their actions, right? And
right.
So if they did something they shouldn't have, well, you're there to say, hey, why did you do that? And that can help them learn.
But my experience with kind of like this master coach or life coach, what I've known and people that have done it, they don't give you this day one, okay? You're going to see your life coach, or if you want to call yours the master coach, on several times, maybe throughout months or a year or whatever. So I think when we do this article, we have to remind the listeners that they're not going to get hit right day one with every bit of information
that
a life coach has.
Takes time. Well, so a coach is not a friend, and then next we see that a coach is also not a therapist. So if you're, struggling with certain things and you need a therapist, a life coach is not really who you want to go to, Simon. And how does he explain that in the next quote?
Well, he just says, coaching is not an antidote, and so antidote really just means a cure or a solution for deeply troubled and significantly distressed individuals.
Okay, distress meaning that you're really upset or worried about something. That's not the time to go to a life coach. Instead, you would want to go to a therapist to help with those things. And so we're narrowing this down, and we're kind of, seeing why you should go to a life coach. And so the first two, we don't go to get a new friend. We don't go, if we need therapy. And then how does he further differentiate what a coach is?
Well, we're told that he differentiates between coaching and teaching. The teaching is a unilateral exercise with the teacher imparting knowledge to the learner. In coaching relationships, both the coach and the talent are learning together. I did not think that way. I didn't think that would be what it says, both the coach and the talent are learning together.
Yeah, that is a very interesting point.
That's actually sort of a dated view of teaching in a lot of ways. Most modern teachers actually use language that's very similar to the language these coaches use. So, for example, teachers now talk about student-centered learning instead of teacher-centered learning. And they talk about the idea of like learning with a class. But I would say there is still one big difference, and that is largely the size of the group mm-hmm. the teacher is working with compared to the coach.
Mm-hmm. It says teaching is a unilateral exercise, unilateral meaning there's only one side or there's only one group. And so, you have the teacher there in kind of the classroom teaching by themselves in many cases. And the teacher is imparting knowledge to the learner. And that's a good word, Lois, imparting.
Yes, it is. And it means to communicate information to someone. So hopefully you're getting this information across to your student.
Now, how can a coach and the talent be learning together? A lot of people would think, I'm going to this life coach. They should already know certain things. And why are they still learning alongside of me? What is that really talking about, Simon?
Well, with student-centered learning, teachers are doing things like providing goals that students should try to reach and mm-hmm. then providing resources for them to do it. But they're not necessarily imparting knowledge directly. They're sort of encouraging students to discover things for themselves as they go along, and I think that's probably very similar.
Mm-hmm. And they're learning along with you. They don't know everything. They know certain principles, but they don't know everything about you, and so maybe something comes up that, they can learn along the way. Well, perhaps the greatest confusion is what, Lois?
Well, it says that for the greatest confusion is for many people occurs between coaching and mentorship. Mm-hmm. The core difference, according to Thompson, is that a mentor guides the talent by drawing on past experience, so knowledge and wisdom.
Mm-hmm. And we've talked about mentorship a lot. Of course, if someone is mentoring you, maybe they're giving you advice over a period of time. Could be about life, could be spiritual advice, it could be within the workplace. You've just started there and you want someone to mentor you to help you learn various tasks for your new job. And so this can be confusing because a coach and a mentor, Simon, kind of sound the same.
Well, they do. Again, one of the big differences between teaching and coaching is that a teacher has a group of 30 students in mm-hmm. front of them. Coach maybe doesn't.
Right.
But the mentor sort of relationship is actually very similar to the coach relationship, where you might be working one-on-one
right.
or in small groups. But of course, often if you think about mentors that you might have had, they're often older people. And so that sort of explains what he is saying about them, I think. The mentor is guiding the new person based on their own past experience. So they've done these things before, and they're kind of helping a newer person out. Whereas the coach is kind of a different situation.
All right, and the coach is opening the door for questions. It says here for inquiry and a discovery and a learning process that unfolds in the moment. And I think that's part of that. They're learning along with you. And so, they're there to coach you through something, whereas a mentor, they already have a lot of wisdom. As Simon said, usually it's someone older, and they're trying to impart that wisdom,
mm-hmm.
whereas a coach is kind of there going along with you. And I kind of think, I can't help but think of the word cheerleader.
Right.
Maybe they're also kind of cheering you on, but they're helping you there, coming alongside of you and learning along with you. And then they do know principles that will help you, hopefully, in that situation. But it's a little different than a mentor.
Right. And I often think of a mentor as maybe more than a decade older than you, more like two decades older than you.
Mm-hmm.
And lots of people end up having a mentor because they've moved far away from family and they need somebody to impart into their life something that they feel they're really missing from older adults in their family.
Yeah, and I would totally encourage you to find a mentor. That's very helpful in life to impart that wisdom because they've lived through things that you haven't, and it can be very helpful. Well, we're going next into the three dimensions. We talked about this already in the title. The first one we are going to discuss today is character. Let's find out about that in our last reading for today.
Three dimensions. How does one become an effective coach? Thompson's framework for what he calls master coaching is built around three C's. Character. Coaches must earn the right to coach. To earn the right to coach, to be someone that others will want to listen to, leaders must display authenticity, self-esteem, emotional intelligence, and what he terms noble intention, the total commitment and focus of the coach on the needs, aspirations, and success of the talent. No facet about coaching should be about the coach.
Okay, well, you can be a coach, but it's better to be an effective coach. Well, how does that happen? And, well, Thompson has a framework, and what does that involve, Lois?
Well, he says this framework, what he calls master coaching, is built around the three C's. I wonder where he got those three C's from.
Oh, yeah, I don't know. Well, a framework is a system or, you know, a system for planning something. Of course, he's writing a book, so it's kind of the outline for his book, that kind of the three main points, and it tells us a lot about what the book entails, right?
That's right. Sometimes when we have a framework, basically it's a way for understanding something, and I think that's probably a good description. He mentions these three C's, of course, in the title. That's what Lois was mentioning. He said in the title, leading with character, and that's the first C.
Building with connections.
That'll be the second C.
And engaging in extraordinary conversations.
Conversations, not coaching. Go. None of those C's are coaching.
Nope. Well, you don't want to. That's in the title. You have to use some different words, right?
It's so confusing.
So we've got character, connection, and conversation.
That's right. And it's clearly outlined here in this article. The first one, character. Coaches must earn the right to coach. And that's important, Lois. You have to earn it. Mm-hmm. And you don't want to go to someone and ask them advice if they haven't kind of earned your respect for giving that advice.
Exactly. We're not thinking of, you know, people often say you're quite the character. Well, that's actually not what we're looking for here. We're not looking for somebody that would fit that description. We're looking for somebody who has character that you admire. So I often think of the word integrity, or they're very good at anything their hand touches.
Right, so Lois was just talking about that phrase, you're quite the character. That you say that to someone who's funny, kind of fooling around, playing around a lot, and uses it in a playful way, but here we're talking about something that's quite important, someone who has character, has qualities that you want to emulate.
Yeah, you might describe this as a moral character sometimes, meaning like the person is a person who does the right things for the right reasons. They actually give us a list of traits that are associated with good character.
You have to be someone that people actually want to listen to, okay? And you have to be authentic. That word, we throw that around a lot, but it's important. You have to be real, okay, and share some problems that you've had that can help people, but you have to be willing to do that, right?
So you have to be willing to be vulnerable.
Yes, that's another good word. And what's your self-esteem? Like, you have to have good self-esteem. If you have poor self-esteem, it's hard, of course, to be a coach.
And I noticed they mentioned EI, your emotional intelligence.
That's right. Emotional intelligence is the ability to understand the way people feel. And you have to be able to react and use the skill to make good judgments and help people avoid or solve problems. And so, or in your own life, you have to be able to make those good judgments and be able to solve problems. So EI is important, very important when it comes to being a good coach.
Yeah, he adds one more characteristic, and that's a characteristic that we don't really hear people talking about very much. It's kind of a unique term that we see here.
That's why it's in quotation marks.
That's right. He calls it the noble intention
that
coaches need to have.
That's right. And if you think of that word noble, you think of something you admire, right?
Yeah, sometimes in English we talk about people having a noble obligation. We usually actually use French words to describe it. But when we're talking about that, what we're really talking about is people who are older or people who are wealthier or have more power having an obligation to the people who don't have as much power or are younger or are poorer. And the idea is that if you have been blessed in life, you have an obligation to help people out, mm-hmm. not because you get anything out of it, but because you have been blessed. And I think this is a very similar idea, mm-hmm. Where your intentions, and what we mean by that is the reasons you are doing things and what you are trying to do should be noble.
That's right. And so you have this noble plan. They want to see the talent succeed. They have this commitment and focus on seeing the talent succeed. What are the needs of the talent? What are their aspirations? You know, what are their goals in life? What are they trying to work toward? And you want to help them, Lois, to achieve that, those goals, right?
Mm-hmm. It's interesting. It says here the total commitment and focus of the coach on the needs. So the needs of the talent, the aspirations and the success of the talent. So then we are told in this last sentence on page 20, no facet about coaching should be about the coach.
All right, so the coach should not be focused on themselves, but focused on the talent and helping them to succeed in life. Well, we have much more to talk about. Today we started to talk about the three dimensions. The first one is character. Tomorrow we will continue our talk about this with connection and conversation. So we hope you will join us for day two of our speed review. Until then, this is Brandon,
Lois,
and Simon
saying goodbye.
Goodbye.